And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, some people sometimes ask me why I start off my program, as I have for all these years now, with the words, hello, friends. Well, that's very, very simple. I don't see Power of Prophecy Radio as being you versus me or you and me. I see it as a team effort. I believe we're friends. I believe we're one family. Now, there may be some small differences between us, but on the big issues of the day, we agree. We're friends. We have the same goals. God, constitutional government, clean government, a moral society in which people have the right to pursue their happiness. And when you believe in these things, and you know, they seem simple enough, but I have found, and I know you have too, there are not many people who actually believe in these things. Just to say God and constitutional government right away takes maybe 80 or 90% of America out of the running. So if you believe in these things, then you're my friend. And so there it is. We're of the family of God. We're in unity with each other. There is a great unity among the brethren, the Bible says. Well, thought I'd mention that because I had a email not too long ago, and it's interesting how God does things. Had an email from a gentleman, and he sort of castigated me and raked me over the coals, he thought. And he said, you know, Tex Mars, why is it that there's so many people who do not like you? You've made enemies of the world. He said, you know, and I don't see why. He said, you're a very talented man, very educated. In fact, he went on to say, you're a brilliant man. Your writings show your brilliance, your intelligence. Oh, he was just saying all the nicest things about me. He said, you know, a man like you could be on the big networks, NBC, CBS, maybe even have your own TV program on Fox News, if you just weren't so confrontational. Well, you know how God always applies a corrective? So I was dwelling on this man's letter, how I might answer his email when I get another letter from Brother Larry Marsh out of Gaithersburg, Maryland. Now, I don't know why he sent me this, but he says, dear Power of Prophecy, let us remember the Bible scripture in James. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Now, Lawrence Marsh of Gaithersburg, Maryland, writes me pretty often, and I always like to hear from him, but isn't it interesting? I don't know why exactly he sent me this. Or maybe I do. That's all it says. Subject, reference your Power of Prophecy newsletter for February 2007. I think that was about occult theocracy. How the CFR is grabbing hold of our religious leaders. And Brother Marsh says, well, remember the Bible scripture in James, friendship with the world is enmity with God. In other words, if you're friends with the world, you're enemies with God. Well, I think that pretty well sets forth, doesn't it? You know, when I began this ministry some 20 years ago now, that's right, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary, I set out, you might say, it wasn't quite my intent, but I suppose it's true. I set out to make enemies with the world. From day one, I said, I'm going to make enemies. Well, you know, nobody selling a product does something like that. My brother Troy said to me, why don't you use more sugar? You can get a lot of flies with honey, a lot more than you can with, you know, acid or salt. But of course, I was never interested in attracting flies anyway, so I had to laugh a little bit at his wording there. But you see, my brother worked for a major oil company back then. And I might add that he's gone on to be with the Lord many years ago, so. But he said, you know, here at Sunoco, at Sun Oil Company, we want everybody to be our friend. And I smiled deep. I said, indeed you do. He said, we would like everybody to use Sun Oil Company products. Well, I would like everybody to be my friend here too at Power of Prophecy. That's why I address you, my true friend, as hello friends. But there's a difference between selling products and telling the truth. And that's what we are. We're part of the truth movement. We have books and videos and audio tapes and CDs that we sell here. But many times we do not make sales because people are angry at us. They become our enemies because we tell them the truth. And that's a sacrifice we make. I remember one of the top Christian leaders in America wrote me a letter, and he told me early in my ministry, he said, Tex, I've sold thousands and thousands of copies of your books through my ministry. But now that you've been saying the things you're saying, I'm not going to sell any more of your books. Now, I could have written him back and said, oh, brother, forgive me. I'll be a good little boy from now on. Please sell my books. Please make money for this ministry. And if I'd have done that, I'd have been making friends with the world, you see, because he was of the world. And he wanted me to be an accomplice and a friend of his and go along with the world, but I wouldn't do it. He let me know it's going to be a sacrifice. It's going to cost you. And it did. And I go right on. Every day we simply tell the truth. And there's one more day closer to being with the Lord. Now that's what I think is a very good philosophy. Every day, get out of bed. Make up your mind that day you're going to do what's right. And that's one more day you're closer with the Lord. Being with the Lord. In fact, you're with the Lord that day. You haven't separated yourself from Him, because I think God likes to keep company with truth tellers. Did you hear what I just said? I do. God likes to keep company with people who tell the truth. I like that. So thank you, Brother Larry Marsh. I'm sure God wanted you to comfort me a little bit there and help me to remember that Bible verse. There are those out there, though, that are just determined to get in bed with the world. They're in bed with our enemies. Many of these top Christian leaders today are like that. Today we're going to talk about secrets. Secrets, and I believe we're all the way up to volume, oh my goodness, 128. Volume 128 of secrets. About every month we have some secrets. Today we're going to be talking about Congressman Ron Paul. Why is it the big Christian evangelicals are not endorsing Congressman Ron Paul of Texas for president? Then you may have heard about this on TV, but we'll give you our take on it here. About the Miami church down in Florida that's branding members with 666 tattoos. They have a leader of their church there who says he's Jesus reincarnated. Is he? Well, if he is, I think we all ought to get our 666 tattoo and get in line. Now, Austin, Texas here, we've got a number of tattoo parlors and shops. And I'm thinking of just, I mean, if this is true, I might just call up, have my secretary call up and get me an appointment to get my 666 tattoo. But on the other hand, if it's not true, I know some people that are going to hell because of this. And boy, the book of Revelation says some terrible things are going to happen to them. What do you think? Are you ready to get your 666 tattooed on your body? Are you ready to believe in this new Jesus? We'll discuss that. I think you have an idea of where I stand on that, but we'll talk more in detail in a minute. Hey, I have a list of the U.S. senators who voted against the English language. And it seems that the same list of U.S. senators just voted to give illegal aliens United States Social Security benefits. I thought I'd just give you their names so you can blackball these monsters. Did you know that Rockefeller is somehow working in a very indirect way, but with British Airways to help sponsor a satanic music festival in the country of Norway? And then U.S. military. Over the years, United States Army and Defense Department bigwigs and the intelligence units have found out about the Jewish threat to America, the synagogue of Satan threat, and they've tried to do what they can to expose it. Well, finally, the Illuminati is angry at what's been going on in the Pentagon, and they're trying to stamp out the last vestiges of resistance to the Jewish threat. We'll talk about that. Well, my friend Ernst Zundel, he's already been in a prison cell, I think, for about 3 years now. And a German court has just sentenced Brother Ernst, or Ernest Zundel, that's Z-U-N-D-E-L, to 5 years in prison. Now, usually when a court sentences a man to prison, he deserves it. Now, if you don't know who Ernest Zundel is, I just told you he's a friend of mine. He and I have written back and forth over the years. He's an artist, and he sent me a couple of his sketches, and they were quite lovely. Well, what did he deserve to get 5 years in prison? Did he rob a bank? Did he molest a child? Did he, there's 10,000 crimes he could be guilty of. Did he embezzle money? Well, the answer is, he exercised his right of free speech. And for that, the German court gave him 5 years in prison. Well, I'm going to exercise my right of free speech and tell you and the world what I think of that German court in just a little while. And I'll tell you more about Ernest Zundel, who is spending 5 years in a German dungeon for something he said. That's it. First Amendment, he said something that someone didn't like. Simple as that. That's what he's in prison for. And you know, you could end up in prison for the same thing someday. There's 100 issues that you cannot discuss. There are things we're going to be talking about on this program today that we're going to break the law. We're going to violate the law just by discussing them in some country or another. Ernest Zundel did that. Then down in Orlando, Florida, seems like they had a neo-Nazi rally. They had one in Austin, Texas here not too long ago. In fact, they have these periodically around the country to keep people's emotions and their fears all stirred up. Oh, we have to worry about the neo-Nazis with their swastikas and their Nazi salutes and so forth. The only problem was, it seems that it came out that this neo-Nazi rally was organized by the FBI. You say, what? Aren't they all? Are not all neo-Nazi rallies funded, sponsored, organized by the FBI? Well, of course they are. Those that are not funded, organized, sponsored by Jewish organizations. We'll talk about that and the proof that we have in that matter in just a minute. And then, of course, Al Gore. Old ozone man Al Gore. He didn't talk about the ozone anymore. Evidently, the hole got healed up. Al Gore didn't do one thing about it. The hole in the ozone layer just healed up by itself. But now he's won an Oscar. He's at the Academy Awards. They cried tears over him. And the lesbian singer Melissa Etheridge, she cried. She bawled almost for that man. He was her inspiration for her songs. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, people are battling over the question, is there such a thing as global warming? We'll talk about that in the truth about it. And then finally, secret meetings have been going on. Now, we were one of the first to expose the plan for the North American Union by 2010. In fact, actually, they wanted to bring the whole thing together by 2005. You remember we offered the video by Galen Ross? American Union by 2005? David Rockefeller, the banker, was angry that it didn't come about. So they set a new date. They always work in five-year plans. You know, that started with Vladimir Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin. And the communists would have their five-year plans. In the year 2000, they set a goal of a five-year plan of 2005. But they had a few impediments. I think people like Tex Mars and you, my dear listeners, threw a few wrenches in the machine, the machina, as they say in Latin, and they didn't get their North American Union or their American Union, but they simply set a new five-year plan, 2010. And now they're having secret meetings. I'll tell you about Secretary of State Condi Rice going up to Canada and having one. And now they've set a North American command up. Military command. Isn't that special? They have already brought forth a North American Union military integration, and they have a command set up. They have a general and all that. They're bringing the three military services together, the Mexicans and the United States and Canadian. Of course, the Mexicans have all, the Army have always worked with the CIA. You know, the Mexican Army brings their drug smugglers up to the border. And then they escort them over to the United States. And they all get their cut. The Mexican Army, the CIA, and the drug smugglers. And I guess now they're going to have to give a cut of that to the U.S. Army and the Defense Department. Now that they're integrating the three countries' military services. Remember, Private Daniel knew. He refused to wear the United Nations label or insignia on his uniform in Yugoslavia. He said, I'm not a United Nations soldier. I'm an American soldier. The Constitution says I'm an American soldier and the president is my commander in chief. I'm not going to work for some NATO general or some United Nations vassal. I'm an American soldier. Well, they court-martialed him for that. I suspect now we might have a few military men in the future going to be court-martialed for refusing to take orders from some Mexico general. He's going to say, Andale, senor! And they're going to say, take a flying leap there, senor, yourself. And I guess they'll be court-martialed for that. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. Because they're going to put American soldiers under the command of corrupt drug lord Mexican generals. And you know there's going to be some American soldier that's going to tell them, no way, Jose. Well, let's start off, dear friends, with the story on the Miami church down in Florida. And its members getting these 666 tattoos. Evidently, this has carried on quite a bit of news. I have a picture of a man in a tattoo parlor, and he has a candle lit to Mary, the Virgin of Guadalupe. And there's a skull also on the wall in his tattoo parlor as he's branded with a 666 on his neck. It's right there. I have the picture in front of me. He's a member of a church or a religious group called Growing in Grace. Oh, yes. Their leader is truly Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. Or you can just call him Jesus. That's what he said. He said he's Jesus. But he also declared himself the Antichrist. He said he's both Jesus and Antichrist. But whatever the case, his church members are showering him with money. He's got Rolex watches. I suppose they cost 10 or 15 grand each. I haven't priced one recently. To tell the truth, I've never priced a Rolex watch, but I have a very good, Relic. It's a Relic watch. Very desirable. I'll sell you mine for $100, or you can buy the Rolex for $20,000 or whatever you like. But I'll be glad to give you my Relic for $100. Well, one guy gave this new Jesus millions of dollars. He was so impressed with him. And now the church members are taking the mark 666 because Jesus, who is also the Antichrist, told them to. One of the women getting her tattoo at the tattoo parlor, maybe it was a party too, I don't know. She wore a t-shirt with Jesus' picture on it, and the phrase, the Lord arrived. Jesus is here. The Lord arrived, the reincarnated Jesus. Others in the church wore shirts and baseball caps marked with the number 666. Meanwhile, Spanish rap music, hip-hop music, blared from a stereo. Oh, my. You see, they were asked to take the 666 number to prove their commitment to the new Jesus' vision. One person said she's doing it. Her name is Axel. She said, I'm getting a 666 tattoo as an evangelization tool. You see, when people see the 666 on my leg, they're going to ask, what's that all about? And I'll be able to tell them about Jesus coming. Jesus has arrived. Now, this De Jesus, their leader, preaches that sin and the devil were destroyed when Jesus died on the cross, and God's chosen already have been saved. You don't have to be saved, you're already saved. His followers call him Daddy or God. Some of them say he's so valuable to their prosperity in their life because he also teaches the prosperity gospel. If they think right, make positive confessions, they'll get rich. Some say they've been making so much money after joining his church and following Daddy or God or Jesus, whichever one they call him. They're giving 40% of their salaries, not just 10% as a tithe. Well, now he started his church in a Hialeah, Florida warehouse about 20 years ago. Before long, he had a couple of hundred followers. Today, De Jesus claims to command a global movement from his Doral, Florida headquarters. He says we have 335 education centers, 200 pastors follow me, 287 radio programs, and a 24-hour Spanish language TV network that's viewed in 2 million homes. He says wealth and success are a sign of God's favor. And there are many business owners and rich people in his congregation who seem to be very, very happy. One of the men made $16 million last year. He owns a web hosting company, and he said he was glad to give over $3 million to Jesus, meaning De Jesus. Martita Roca, 25 years old, an attractive singer and actress from Guatemala who now lives in South Florida, said she gives 40% of her salary to growing in grace and to the new Jesus too. And not only that, she's happy to take the mark 666. There's no going back, Miss Roca said of her tattoo. You know, I think she's correct. You take the mark of the beast, there's no going back. Now, the Bible, of course, told us about that. Jesus said, many will come in my name, saying, I am he, I am Christ. Well, wasn't that an accurate prophecy? The book of Revelation says, if any man take the mark, or the name, or the number of the beast, then all the plagues in Revelation will be his destiny. But doesn't this alert you to what's really going on in the world? A good friend of mine in Australia wrote to me about a church in Germany that he's aware of. And the young teenagers of the church got together and are putting out a nude calendar of the young people, the girls of the church. Sort of a playgirl or playboy, I don't know what you'd call it, calendar. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that calendar and what one of the girls who is going to be totally naked on the calendar said as to why she volunteered to be in this calendar. She's doing it for Jesus. This is over in Germany. This is Tex Mars. Stay with us. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. This is Secrets, Volume 128. And we got a lot more for you when we return. Well, today we've been talking about some amazing things, and yet they're prophesied to occur. Let me tell you something else that's been prophesied in the Bible. Revelation 2 and 3 is very clear that the great enemy of the Christian church in the last days will not be Islam, will not be Buddhism, will not be Hinduism, will not even be the Church of Satan. Did you know that the greatest enemy of God and his people in the last days will be an entity that the Bible says is the synagogue of Satan? The synagogue of Satan. You know, you can attend a Southern Baptist or an Assembly of God or a Pentecostal or just a typical community denominational church, and certainly a Methodist, Presbyterian, or Episcopal, or Lutheran church all your life, and you'll never hear a sermon preached on the synagogue of Satan. And yet the Bible in the book of Revelation says, because of the synagogue of Satan, many Christians will be cast into prison. Some will be killed. But seems like pastors today don't care. They don't give a flip whether you know about the synagogue of Satan or not. But listen to me, dear friends. The Bible prophesied it. You know what that means? I believe it's here. I believe the synagogue of Satan is alive in its filth, in its danger, in its threat to your life, and certainly to the spiritual welfare of billions of people. And we have a book that we published. I think it's the first book of its kind ever. I first found out about it. It was sent to me in a very small edition from Great Britain. The author, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, works in the financial services sector in London, and he sent me his book. He's been following our ministry for many years, and he said, "Tex, I thought you'd like to have a copy of my book." Well, I was so impressed with the book, we decided to print it right here in America. And we have the first American edition. It's a brand new book. But we've made it bigger, and it's a nicer format. It looks great, and it reveals a lot. The title is The Synagogue of Satan, The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. Did you get that subtitle? The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. But the title in the book, of course, is by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. Just remember the old Alfred Hitchcock of the movies. I think he was a Britishman too. Hitchcock is the author. The book, The Synagogue of Satan. Now, this book is over 300 pages in length. Over 300 pages in length. It comes with a very extensive index in the back, so you can just turn to words that you're interested in and find out where they're talked about in the book. And let me tell you something. He goes all the way back in history, and he shows you the secret activities, the secret crimes of the synagogue of Satan. Now, if you want to know about the synagogue of Satan, you can go to your pastor, and he'll look at you with a shocked look in his face, and he'll probably turn pale. And if he doesn't faint right out, he will run for the nearest exit or door to get away from you. He don't want to talk about it. First of all, he doesn't even know about it. And if he did, he wouldn't tell you about it because, well, he's fearful. He's scared. Or he might just be part of it. Well, you'll find out what it is. Now, I've been pleased to write the foreword for this. It's about 20 pages or so in length as well. I wrote the foreword for the book, The Synagogue of Satan. Now, my friends told me you're crazy to do that, Tex. Boy, anybody who writes the foreword and anybody who publishes a book entitled The Synagogue of Satan is going to get in big trouble with the world. But see, that's why I was telling you before. I'm already in big trouble with the world. But I have a friend in God. I have a friend in the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. And you know, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock is a great believer in the King James Bible as I am. And if it said there is a synagogue of Satan And it's our greatest threat in the last days, and it's satanically energized. I believe it. Do you, dear friends? That's the question. Do you believe Revelation 2 and 3 that warns of the synagogue of Satan? Then you'll want to know what it is, who they are, and what they're all about, and what their goals are, what their plan is. This is the only book in the world now you can read and find out. We do have the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. We still have some copies of that. They're about to run out, and I don't know if we can get any more. Everybody's afraid to publish it. We'll probably have to publish it too. The Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. What a brave man he is. I hope he lives a nice long life. I know one thing. If he doesn't live long here on earth, he's going to live eternally in heaven because he believes in Christ Jesus. And he's written this amazing book, The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. Now for $20, we'll send you your personal copy. You'll know the horrible truth about the synagogue of Satan, the history of it. And there are hundreds and hundreds of references, quotes, documentation in this book. You've got to have this book, friends. The Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Hitchcock with a foreword by yours truly, Tex Morse. $20. Now please add $4 for shipping and handling. To get the book, The Synagogue of Satan, just phone us toll free. And I guess you don't have to worry. It'll come in a plain brown manila wrapper, just a regular envelope. And, you know, you don't have to worry about the postman or anything seeing, you know, what you're getting. It's like secret material. Boy, this is banned stuff. Well, The Synagogue of Satan. Hey, all you have to do is phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673, and say, hey, Tex, or whoever answers the phone here, please send me that book, The Synagogue of Satan. A total of $24. It's right off the press. I mean, we just got our first copies. What, 2 days ago? 2 days ago. Actually, yesterday. Yesterday we got it. That's right. The Synagogue of Satan. Hot off the press. It's a book that's going to get Tex Morse in a lot of... I mean, if I'm going to be in that much trouble for publishing the book and writing the foreword, friends, the least you can do is order it and read it. Then you'll know what all the hubbub's about. And before we go back to our regular program, by the way, we're going to give you our address as well. Let me go ahead and do that. We're at the Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can send $24 with a little note and say, Tex, send me that book right away. Man, we'll have that thing going right back to you in about 2 days. That's the way we do things around here. I can't tell you how much I love my staff here. They get your order in. They open all the orders every day. They run through them. And I mean, I just can't believe what they do. They make sure. Sometimes they stay late if necessary to get out orders. And on the weekend, we don't let any sit here. But on Friday afternoon, we're moving so we can have all those orders filled. That's the way we do things here. Because when you order something, I don't like those ads that say, please allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. Baloney. We're not going to do that. Maybe the mail service is slow. It takes that long. I hope not, but not in this ministry. Because we respect you and your time too much. Now, some people say, why publish books? Why make trouble for the world? Well, we need to tell the truth. We need to give the word. I love Psalm. In the Psalms, Psalm 68, verse 11. Listen to what it says. It says, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Isn't that something? Did you know by being part of our team here, our partner, our friend, you're a great person? Ah, that's right. We also distribute Bibles here. Isn't that the Word of God? In fact, we give away cases of free Bibles to missions overseas, and we send free Bibles to prisons, to our orphan home project, and so forth. The Lord gave the Word. Great was the company of those that published it. Wow. Woo. Well, I believe we have a lot of great friends out there in radio land, and I appreciate you. Hey, let's return now to our regular program, Power of Prophecy. We have a volume of secrets going on right now. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Congressman Ron Paul. Now, I suppose as ministry, I shouldn't be telling you who to vote for, but I'm sure going to vote for Congressman Ron Paul. That's my personal choice to run for president. Now, there may be a few things that he and I don't agree with. He's probably a little bit more libertarian than I. He's a Republican, of course. He has a MD from Duke University over on the East Coast. He's a medical doctor as well as a congressman. He began his OBGYN career way back in 1968. And let me give you a little statistic here. Congressman Ron Paul has delivered over 4,000 babies. But let me give you another statistic. He's never aborted one. Now, that's something for you to stick in your hat. Now, like me, he was an Air Force captain and a member of the Air National Guard. I've never been in the National Guard, but I spent over 20 years as an Air Force officer, and he was in the Air Force as a captain. He has a 100% rating from the Conservative Index. That's probably the most accurate reflection of a congressman's record that you want to hear. Now, because he gets a 100% record on the Conservative Index, it seems strangely that Christian evangelical leaders don't want him. Let me tell you why. He's a constitutionalist. He's a believer in the American system of government. He believes in the First Amendment. And these people are nothing but a bunch of snaky fakes. I like the way that rhymes. Snaky fakes. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Of course you do. We're talking about James Dobson, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson. Hey, they're going to support Newt Gingrich, a member of the CFR of the Bohemian Grove. You know they're going to support him. Are they going to support Rudy Giuliani, who's on his third marriage? He's pro-abortion, pro-homosexual. Hey, Rudy Giuliani lived with the man for about 4 years. Did you get my point? He, quote, unquote, lived with a man. You say, well, how can he be married to three women? Oh, well, Ted Haggard's married too. There are a lot of queers out there married, men and women. Giuliani lived with a man. And I know of at least three occasions when he dressed up as a transgender. I have a picture of him dressed up in women's garb. Showed up at a nightclub dressed like a woman. He led a gay rights parade dressed up like a woman. But they say he's America's mayor. Well, I don't doubt it at all. What is America like today? It's a hellhole. It's a pit of immorality, a cesspool. And Rudy Giuliani is America's governor. Mayor. Now he wants to be its president. And then there's John McCain. Oh, yeah. His wife wears one of those Hillary pins. She's for Hillary Clinton, but her own husband's running for president. John McCain is, oh my, what can I say? Jerry Falwell likes him. He's a big liberal, but boy, Falwell likes him. Why? Because he's a Zionist monster. He believes in killing every Arab he can get his hands on, but first he's got to torture him, of course. Gingrich, too. I think he's on about his third wife. His, was it his first or his second wife? She was diagnosed with cancer, and while she was getting an operation for cancer in the hospital, he took the opportunity to go and stand by her bed and say, "Hi, dear, just wanted you to know I'm divorcing you for another woman I've been running around with." Wouldn't that make you feel good, laying in bed with a cancer, and your husband, the good congressman, comes in and said, "Just wanted you to know I'm divorcing you. Have a nice cancer operation." Now, this is a real man. Turned out, while he was promoting the impeachment of Bill Clinton, he was having an affair with his congressional aide, a younger woman by 30 years. He was diddling around with his own congressional female aide while he was helping to impeach Bill Clinton for messing around with Monica Lewinsky. And now he's the commentator for Fox Network because he too is a Zionist monster. But guess what? In his National Liberty Journal, I think that's the name of his publication, Jerry Falwell calls Newt Gingrich a true American statesman. A true American statesman. Oh my goodness. Recently, the National Liberty Journal, put out by Jerry Falwell's group, had a major section entitled Campaign 2008, Identifying the Republican Presidential Candidates. They named 10 Republicans and discussed it. And it was very apparent they loved several of them. You know, like Newt Gingrich, Newt the Lizard, John McCain, Mitt Romney. All of these would be very happy candidates for Dobson and all of them. But did you know that one man who's actually running, Congressman Ron Paul's name, is not even on here? His name wasn't even listed. They don't even want to give Congressman Paul a mention. He's a Republican too. What's the matter there, Mr. Falwell? You see, Congressman Ron Paul is the one who exposed the emerging North American Union, the NAFTA superhighway, the boondoggle of giving Social Security money to Mexican illegal aliens. He exposed all those things, and the Illuminati stooges don't want him. He's the only one of the only honest guys they've got in the whole Congress. They hate this guy. They're not going to give him any publicity. He's pro-life. As I said, he's delivered 4,000 babies and he's against aborting them. He said if he's president, he's going to fight in every state to get laws passed to stop abortion. And I suspect he will probably cut taxes. I mean, I doubt if we'll have 20% of the taxes that we have now, because he doesn't believe in that stuff. He believes people ought to keep the money they make. And he has said that he will abolish the IRS. Oh boy. When you're going to abolish the IRS and stop the illegal aliens coming in, right away the Illuminati don't like that. By the way, Newt Gingrich and John McCain are members of the Council on Foreign Relations. They're the ones wanting to push this North American Union. And yet, Newt Gingrich is a true American gentleman, a statesman, as Jerry Falwell puts it. Hey, I got a list here for you. U.S. senators who voted against making English our official language. Some people would call these guys idiots. Kathy sent me this list. I think it's sort of interesting. She thinks they're idiots too. Doesn't seem to be a nice thing to say about them, but she says it, and I agree with Kathy. She said, "We need to expose these people, but don't argue with them." Never argue with an idiot, says Kathy. because they'll just drag you down to their level and they'll beat you with experience. They have a lot more experience as an idiot than you and I have. Here's some senators who voted against making English the official language of America. Senator Bayh from Indiana, Senator Biden, Democrat, Delaware, Senator Bingaman, Democrat, New Mexico, Senator Barbara Boxer, Democrat, California, Cantwell, Democrat, Washington, naturally Hillary Rodham Clinton, Democrat, New York, Dayton, Democrat, Minnesota, Dodd, Democrat, Connecticut, Domenici, Republican, New Mexico, Durbin of Illinois, Feingold, these are all Democrats, Feingold of Wisconsin, Feinstein of California, Tom Harkin of Iowa, Inouye of Hawaii, Jeffords of Vermont, old Ted Chappaquiddick Kennedy, Democrat of Massachusetts, John Skull and Bones Kerry, Massachusetts. All these are senators now who said, we can't make English our official language. There was Mr. Cole of Wisconsin, Lautenberg of New Jersey. Both those, are, of course, are Jewish people. Leahy of Vermont. Levin, another Jew of Michigan. Lieberman, another Jew of Connecticut. Have you noticed how many Jews there are in our Congress? They're only 2% of America, but they make up a huge percentage of Congress. Menendez, he's Jewish from New Jersey. Mikulski, Maryland. Murray, Washington. Barack Hussein, also known as Little Saddam Obama, Democrat of Illinois. Reed of Rhode Island. Reed of Nevada. Salazar of Colorado. Sarbanes, Maryland. Schumer, Mr. Jew himself of New York. Stabenow, another Jew, woman from Michigan. Wyden of Oregon. Pandering to illegal aliens. That's what this really is. But wait, not only that, these same people also want to give illegal aliens Social Security. Let's see some of the people. I can't name them all. We don't have enough time. McCain. Yeah, old John McCain. Old Falwell and Dobson's good buddy. He wants to give illegal aliens full Social Security benefits. Thank you, Mr. McCain, for that. There's, of course, Barbara Boxer and Feinstein. Looks just some of the Republicans. Florida, Senator Martinez. Indiana, Senator Lugar. Nebraska, Senator Hagel. He's running for president. From Ohio, Senator DeWine and Senator Volnovich. They want to give illegal aliens your taxpayer dollars for Social Security benefits. There's, of course, Arlen Magic Bullet Specter of Pennsylvania, Republican. John Chafee of Rhode Island. There's Graham, Senator Lindsey. Stop all the websites, Graham. That's what I call him, stop all the websites. Lindsey Graham, by the way, not only has given illegal aliens our money in Social Security benefits, but Lindsey Graham complained and told Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, we've got to stop these people saying these things on the internet. We can't allow free speech anymore. Why this is wrong. They're criticizing our government. They could be helping our enemy. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Graham, for getting rid of our First Amendment rights, as well as giving our money to these illegal aliens. And of course, all the typical Democratic culprits were involved too. Does it ever stop, friends? Well, it doesn't seem to stop in Europe either. Over in Norway, April 5th through April 7th, they're having the big Satanic Music Festival, a three-day concert. Its actual title is The Inferno. The Inferno Festival. It's going to be in Oslo, Norway, just in case you want to make your reservations now for it. According to the news clipping here, they actually say this. The lineup will include a very large number of black, that's not black as in race, just black, death and outwardly open satanic rock bands. Now, it's very fitting, this article says, since there is a town in Norway named Hell. and it has an annual hail festival. Oh, boy. Well, they say people are going to be flying in from all over the world. United States, England, Sweden, Germany, Italy, even India. It's the foremost music festival in the world for satanic music. And it's going to be held at the Rockefeller Music Hall in Oslo. Isn't that exciting? I can't wait to go. Now, sure. Wanda, I think she'd rather cut off my head than let me go to something like that. And I don't blame her. Now, we don't have much time left. I want to tell you about my friend Ernest Zundel. Ernest Zundel, from the time he was a little boy, lived in Canada. His parents came from Germany. Ernst Zundel is a Christian, and he's a pacifist. He doesn't believe in killing anything. He doesn't even hunt. Far as I know, the man's never even had a traffic ticket, never had a violation of any kind. He sent me some of his works of art, and they show Jesus Christ on the cross and the light of heaven coming forth. He says Jesus is my Savior and Lord. He's been convicted of 14 counts. What did he do? He said, we've got to study the Holocaust. There have been a lot of lies told about the Holocaust. Well, Germany, they have a law there. And they say that's Holocaust denial. Now, Mr. Zundel lived in the United States with his wife, Ingrid. She just happens to be an American citizen. And you know, even though he was from Canada, living here in America, he had every right to stay here. But the United States government, our Homeland Security Director, Mr. Chertoff, pulled some strings. And they went and had a SWAT team go out to arrest Mr. Zundel. And they took him on a circuitous route through Canada and delivered him to Germany. Can you imagine our American government delivering a law-abiding citizen married to an American woman to Germany so that he could be tried for violation of a law there that makes Holocaust denial a crime? Now, actually, Ernest Zundel did not deny concentration camps. He never said, as far as I know, that Hitler was a good guy. He simply said, maybe all the things that they say happened during the Holocaust didn't happen. For that, he got 5 years. Well, I'm going to say right now, I wonder what they're trying to hide. Maybe all the things didn't happen that they say happened in the Holocaust. Maybe Henry Ford was right when he said, quote, history is bunk. Now, for what I just said, I can get 5 years in prison or more in Germany. Well, German authorities and Ms. Chertoff, come and get me. Here I am. What are you afraid of? Mr. Zundel, a peaceful man spending 5 years in a German dungeon. What for? For saying maybe they lied to us. Everything didn't happen the way they said it did in the Holocaust. Free speech, the First Amendment. You don't have to agree with Mr. Zundel to know that this is a horror. We've got a secrets volume today, and I'm so glad you've been with us. I hope you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.